What is it that we can think of within a day's experience that would change our perspective, that would impress us, that would bring us through a change in emotion? Well, in my generation, I can think of the Billy Graham visits to the UK in the 1960s, and I think going into the early 1970s. That impacted a whole generation in this country. More recently, I was involved in the Alpha Course, and in Christian terms, that had a major impact upon my life and upon many people's lives who attended the Alpha Course. Many people came to Christian faith and great joy through that. But can you think of something in your life that enables you to key into what's going on here? Something that has changed your perspective of life in a profound way. I can think, for example, of marriage, of coming to know somebody who I loved and who's become my life partner, profoundly changed my way of life. It didn't happen in a day or a morning, although it was love at first sight. But what can you think of that does it for you? I don't need to know, but the thing is, for you to understand this, you need to key into it and say, what is it that I can identify in my life that's been so important to me that I can understand how people's perspective, how people's life view is going to be changed dramatically? Because that's what happened on this day. The Word of God penetrated to their inmost being. Okay. Now, if you can grasp that, you can grasp what comes next. If we go to the next slide. The people rediscover their relationship with God in a way that immediately starts to impact on their lives. They hear, and for many of them it's hearing for the first time, that they are a people who God has made their own. They are a people who are loved by God and blessed by God, who has given them a social contract, a way to live that's distinct from the peoples around them, a life of social justice, a life of a free people. Now, in the ancient world, that was very distinct because there were not many free peoples in the ancient world. They had, if you like, constitutional freedoms prescribed by God. This is a wow. This is discovering that your life is one where you have a relationship with God that is transforming, and your society has a relationship with God which is transforming. They discovered that, and they discovered that right where they were in that 7 months, there was a major feast. It was like, it really was like rediscovering Christmas. Because what they found as Ezra and the others read the law to them was that in the 7 months, the Day of Atonement, as it was called, where the people remembered their sins, was followed by the celebration of the Feast of Shelters, or Booths, we call it Tabernacles, where they remembered how God had brought them out of captivity in Egypt, and that through that time in the desert, he provided for them food and water and shelter, hence the shelters. In the desert, they built these temporary shelters, often made of cut branches and everything, to protect them not so much from the rain, but from the sun. They'd been a people who'd been moving on, and these were the shelters they provided. And God said to them, as they read in his word, celebrate this on the 7th month. The remembrance of your sins is to be followed by a celebration of joy, because I am your God. I have delivered you from captivity. I have made you my own. And particularly the themes were of water and of light. The theme of water in the desert is one that we can readily understand. The theme of light isn't quite so easy to understand, but the theme of light comes from the fact that rather like decorating the Christmas tree or decorating our houses, they used to decorate their shelters with light, with lights. And at night time, it was a sparkling celebration. Now, if you can see the visual imagery of that, you'll understand where we go to next. Because in their joy, they celebrated these 7 days of feasting and sharing with those that did not have choice foods, as it mentioned, and did not have the ability to provide for themselves. They shared with each other. Okay, so you have the theme of celebration, of water bringing life, of light. And do you know where that took me next? To my amazement, just this past couple of weeks, I've been reading in my daily readings from John's Gospel. And I'd like to just tell you about this because this was what brought me joy as I read the reading. This brought it to life for me and really did give me great joy. I want to turn now to John chapter 7 and give you an insight into my joy here. Bear with me for a moment. Okay, I'm at John chapter 7. And this is the Festival of Tabernacles being celebrated in Jesus' time. And what do I read? It's this, that Jesus says at the Feast of Tabernacles, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and in a loud voice says, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." And I looked at this, and I looked back to Nehemiah, and in the background explanation of Nehemiah, it explains how the priest used to go to the temple with a jug of water and pour out this jug of water, symbolically representing the fact that the temple was God's home and water was being poured out as the source of life. And here Jesus is saying, in Jerusalem, in his time, "I am the source of that life. I am the water of life." And then it refers through to the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, right at the end, almost at the close, it says these wonderful words that as Jesus comes back for the second time, that it will be God living with his people and the river of life will flow through wherever God's people are. The river of life will flow from the temple in Jerusalem and it will be like an inexhaustible river. You know how it is if you look to the source of a river and it's a little trickle and you go further on and it becomes a more significant river and you get towards the estuary, you get towards where the rivers Dee and Mersey meet and it's a vast tide of water. And this is what Jesus was saying. He was saying that I am the source of that life that Nehemiah was describing with Ezra as the water was poured out in the temple. When they poured the water out in the temple, they actually didn't know any of this, but they were actually seeking to fulfill the prophecy of Ezekiel, which said exactly this, that the water of life will be poured out by God from the temple, and it will bring life wherever it went. This brought me great joy because I could see the whole flow, if you like, of God's scriptures to us. And the significance they had for my life and for your life. And then I just looked on a little further. And Jesus stood up again at the Feast of Tabernacles, and he said, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And again, he was drawing upon that imagery that was set out in the Feast of Tabernacles, where the lights were dazzling, like the lights on the Christmas tree. They were the lights that decorated their houses, their booths. And I thought, this is great. Jesus is really describing in a way that draws to life the way his life in us works. His life brings light. His life brings water, refreshment. His life brings the light of life. So what are the life lessons for us? I've started to draw them out, but the key question is, how will God's word touch your life today? How will it touch my life? Because otherwise, it has no significance, does it? If God's word doesn't touch our lives, it's the empty commercialization of Christmas come again. But what does it mean if God's word touches our lives? Well, it means, as the people stood before Nehemiah and Ezra and cried as they heard the word of God touches our innermost being. It's the Holy Spirit who does that. And as a consequence, there must be a movement from us towards others. The river of life is one which pours out extravagantly the water of life on all who it touches. It overflows, it blesses, it enriches. As Louise said, what breaks your heart when she first spoke to us? When was the last time you cried about anything? When was the last time that something was so significant to you that you thought, I've got to change something, I've got to do something? This is what happened to the people as they stood by the water gate in Nehemiah's time. And this is the question to us today. How will the joy of the Lord be our strength? Because it certainly is the case that if the water of life flows over us and the light of life lights us, joy will follow. The deep, deep joy of Jesus, which fills all of our life and transforms all of our society and all of our relationships with others. It is the deep, deep joy of Jesus that has transformed all of our society, which has the inheritance of Christian culture, which is fading now in many ways, and people don't understand it, but it's that deep, deep joy of Jesus. And we, as God's children, are the people who live out the reality of that today. And the question is, as Louise asked us to address as she introduced the subject, how will that affect our relationships with others? What will it do? Well, I want to give you two brief examples to finish from my life. This week I have to go to a funeral. A lovely friend was a Christian minister. When Liz and I were first married, we went to the church where he was the pastor, and he brought Christian things alive to us in a way that I shall always be grateful for. And the words will come to me as I attend the funeral that Jesus spoke to Martha and Mary as he attended the feast, as he attended the preparations for the funeral of Lazarus, his friend who had died. And he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me, though he die, shall live. And all who believe in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" I'm not sure if I've got the quote exactly right because I'm just doing it from memory. But I say, "Yes, Lord, I believe that." As Martha and Mary said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that." And with all whom we come into contact with, in the deepest matter of life and death, there is transformation. And the next thing I think of is the preparation for the general election, which comes upon us. In a sense, it's too big for any of us to do anything about, but we can cast a vote. That's the first thing. Cast your vote and do it prayerfully. I'm finding it immensely difficult to know what precisely to do, but I'm praying about it, and we can pray about it for the future of our country at a time which is so significant. Those are two things for me. But the very final thing I'd like to say is this, that as you react, do so in joy, the deep, deep joy of Jesus. And I want to give everyone an invitation today to actually react rather than do nothing. React to the deep, deep joy of Jesus. And react in a way that will prepare to touch the lives of others. And I'd just like to show you by example. The flowers down here, and I just thought yesterday as I was finally thinking about this, how could we represent the living sacrifice of our lives with the deep, deep joy of Jesus that invites transformation? And it's simply that. As I do this, I say, "The joy of the Lord shall be my strength. My life as a living sacrifice will be before the Lord." So, as we sing our final hymn, if you'd like to, please just do come and take a flower and put it in the vase. And just finally think whether you would like to take away any of these bunches of flowers to give to somebody who comes to your mind, where you would communicate the joy of Jesus as you give them that bunch of flowers, inside the church, outside the church. Over to Louise.